السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين گزشتہ خطے میں ذکر ہوا تھا کہ حضرت مسیح موعود علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام نے آن حضرت صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم میں محو ہو کر
It was mentioned in the last week's Friday sermon that the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, becoming lost in the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, came to understand the Holy Quran, its commandments, and the Tawheed, the oneness of Allah the Almighty. The true subject and essence of Tawheed cannot be understood unless it is by virtue of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Nor can one attain knowledge of the Holy Quran unless it is through the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thus, it is for this reason that to understand La ilaha illallah, it is necessary to comprehend Muhammad Rasulullah. For it is Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, who was the true personification, exemplar, and practical illustration of La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Today I shall present some extracts of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, in which he has explained Tawheed, the unity of God. He expounds what true Tawheed is, what the essence of Tawheed entails, and how, by acting upon this, he can be called one who truly believes in the one God. In explanation of Surah An-Nas and shedding light upon Ilahi An-Nas, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam here is continuing to explain a subject matter which is of Malik An-Nas, Ilahi An-Nas. O Rabb Innas, Malik Innas, Ilah Innas, and says, I wish to explain that first in this surah, Allah the Almighty has said Rabb Innas. Then he says Malik Innas, and finally he says Ilah Innas, which is the true purpose and object of man. That is to say, Ilah Innas is the true purpose of man. That should be what man searches after, and this should be the case. The promised Messiah says, Ilah means the purpose, one worthy of worship, and that which is sought after. In other words, something that one has to attain, one's target, which is necessary to acquire, or which a Muslim should strive to achieve, which one who believes in Allah the Almighty needs to endeavor to attain. So the promised Messiah states, Ilah means purpose, one worthy of worship, and one that is sought after. This is precisely the meaning of La ilaha illallah. that save Allah, there is no one worthy of worship, there is no other purpose or objective, and there is none else sought after. The promised Messiah continues, this is true Tawheed, that all praise should be attributed to Allah the Almighty alone. All glory and all praise should be attributed purely to God the Almighty. This is the true Tawheed. The promised Messiah says, Tawheed is only then perfected and completed when the being of the one God becomes the object of all desires and the remedy of all maladies and ailments. This is precisely the meaning of La ilaha illallah. The Sufis have inferred from the word ilah, the one who is beloved, who is indeed worthy of worship. It is, however, true that unless a person fully acts upon this, the love and greatness of Allah the Almighty will not instill within him. If one really acts upon La ilaha illallah, only then can the love and splendor of God be infused within him, otherwise it will be merely lip service. The promised Messiah then says, referring to the sublime and excellent teachings of Islam, that it is the grace and blessings of Allah the Almighty that Muslims received the Islam through Allah the Almighty, brought by the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. From whichever perspective we observe this, it is a source of great pride and honor for Muslims. The God of Muslims is not that of stone, trees, animals, stars, or any dead person. Indeed, He is the omnipotent God, who created the heavens and the earth and all that lies between them. He is Hayyu Qayyum, the living, the self-subsisting, and the all-sustaining. The Prophet of the Muslims is the Holy Prophet Muhammad. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. His prophethood and messengership extends to the Day of Judgment. His messengership is not a dead prophethood. In fact, its fruits and blessings are ever fresh and are found in every era, testifying to his truthfulness at all times. Thus, in the current time also, Allah the Almighty has caused these blessings and proofs to spring forth. By sending the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, God has provided testimonies of the truthfulness of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam today. Further, his claim is for all the world. Allah the Almighty states in the Holy Quran, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا. Say, O mankind, truly I am a messenger to you all from Allah. Then Allah the Almighty states, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And we have sent thee not but as a mercy for all peoples. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, says, the book that was conferred by Allah the Almighty was so conclusive and perfect that la rayba fi, there is no doubt in it. And fiha kutubun qayyima, therein are lasting commandments. All that is left in the other scriptures are mere tales and legends. Perpetual truths are found only in the Holy Quran. And ayatum muhkamatum, mizan muhaimin. Then the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says, in short, the religion that is perfect and complete from every perspective is that of the Muslims. The seal of the verse, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenukum Wa Atmamtu Alaykum Ni'mati Wa Raditu Lakum Islam Adina, has now been set. Meaning, this day have I perfected your religion for you and completed my favor upon you and have chosen for you Islam as a religion.
جو آخری اور کامل دین جو تمام ضرورتوں کو پورا کرنے والا ہے.
So it is Islam alone that is the final and perfect religion, and which provides a means to fulfilling all requirements. The promised Messiah says, "So thus how sad it is that in spite of this, Muslims do not partake of the fruits and blessings of the perfect faith, which is a source of gaining the pleasure of Allah the Almighty." Despite associating themselves with this faith, they are unfortunate and they do not partake in the share of the blessings of this faith. In fact, the majority of them rose in denial when God Almighty established a movement to revive these fruits and blessings. They started proclaiming, "Lasta mursala wa lasta mu'mina," that you are not a messenger, you are not a believer. So Allah sent the promised Messiah alayhi salam. Not only did they deny him, they in fact began to reject the blessings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and proclaimed that you have not come from God. They started calling out that you are not a believer. The promised Messiah says, "Remember that merely verbally professing the Tawheed cannot attract the divine blessings, which can conversely be attained through verbally professing this and performing amale saliha, righteous deeds. So to only declare Tawheed will not absorb those blessings. Whereas, if alongside this proclamation and declaration, one also performs the righteous deeds, only then will the results and blessings be obtained. The blessings of Tawheed will then be obtained when one loses himself in the love of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, looks toward his pious example, acts upon it, and performs amale saliha, righteous deeds. The promised Messiah alayhi salam says, "It is true, Tawheed is the highest form and point of belief, which every true Muslim and anyone who fears Allah the Almighty should adopt. But in order to perfect the belief in the unity of God, there is a second aspect, and that is the love of Allah. The real purpose and object of the teachings of the Holy Quran is that as Allah is worthy of worship and is without partners, similarly in terms of divine love, he should be considered without partner. The real purpose of the teachings of all the prophets has been since time immemorial exactly this. So thus, La ilaha illallah on the one hand provides teachings of Tawheed. On the other hand, it provides guidance for perfecting the love of the divine and Tawheed. So La ilaha illallah provides teachings of Tawheed. And on the other side, it guides towards attaining excellence in the love of the divine and in the love of the unity of Allah. The promised Messiah says, as I have just mentioned, this is such a beautiful and meaningful phrase, the like of which is not found anywhere in either the Torah or the Gospels, and nor in any other book in the world has such a perfect and complete teaching been given. Ida means such a beloved who is worshipped. As such, the reality of Islam perfectly fulfills the concept of this true love. Remember, the unity of God without love is flawed and incomplete. As has been mentioned, the love of Allah the Almighty is obtained purely by virtue of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is why Allah the Almighty has stated, "Fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah." The Holy Prophet has declared that if you follow me, you will attain the love of God. Explaining the reality of Tawheed, the unity of Allah, and what the standard is expected of a mu'min, of a believer, the promised Messiah on whom be peace has said, "Those who have submitted and turned towards the authorities and the officials, or seek rewards and titles and accolades from them, are in awe of them as one should be in awe of God. They thus become worshippers of them." And this, in fact, eliminates the standard of Tawheed, the unity of Allah the Almighty. It causes man to become far removed from his from his central purpose and objective. So thus the prophets of Allah the Almighty provide the teaching that there should be no conflict and contradiction between the means and Tawheed. Rather, each should have its own appropriate place, and the ultimate outcome should be the unity of Allah. In other words, the end result and the ultimate dependence and reliance should be on Tawheed. The prophets desire to teach man that all honor, all comforts, and all needs and requirements, and the one who can fulfill all wishes is God the Almighty alone. If anyone is made equal to him, then it is completely obvious and clear that both these two entities would collide with one another, and one would have to be destroyed. When two enemies of forces collide, one would in any case have to forfeit. So the promised Messiah says, therefore it is imperative and it takes precedence that the Tawheed of Allah the Almighty becomes established. Now, worldly means can be established, however they should not be made equal to God. So worldly resources and provisions are necessary to utilize. The means and provisions that Allah has conferred should be used, but they should not be made partners to God. Tawheed should always be given precedence. For through this Tawheed, love of Allah the Almighty is generated. This is when a person considers that all gain, benefit, and all loss lies in the hand of God. He is the true benefactor, and every single thing originates and emanates from Him. There is no equal to Him. When a person attains this pure state, he is called a Muwahid, a true believer in the one God. So when this condition pervades a person, when he has full reliance in Allah the Almighty, and he equates no one to him, only then will he be called a Muwahid. So in short, one state of Tawheed is that a person does not equate stones, humans, or anything else with God. He rather holds an abhorrence and loathing with such things. The second state is not to overly rely on worldly means. In other words, man should not rely on the worldly means and resources beyond reasonable bounds, and should not consider that the be-all and end-all. Then the promised Messiah says, the third form of this is that one should eliminate his own self and desires from in between. The third aspect for establishing Tawheed is that one should eliminate his own self. All the selfish and egotistical desires should be completely uprooted and negated. Sometimes, a person begins to consider his own capabilities, strengths, and qualities. Often, it happens that a person puts reliance, dependence, and trust in his own qualities, capabilities, and abilities when doing any task. He presumes that he has carried out an act of virtue or goodness as a result of his own qualities. And he relies on these personal qualities to such a degree that he attributes every success to it. A person becomes a true believer in the one God when he negates his belief in his personal qualities and capabilities. However, here the question arises that as experience proves and shows that generally and normally man is guilty of some sin or the other. Some are embroiled in major sins, whilst others in middle-level sins, whilst there are yet others who fall prey to minor or minute sins. There is, for example, stinginess or pretentiousness and other similar sins which they fall prey to. Until a person frees himself from these sins, he cannot regain the lost light. The real fact of the matter is that Allah has given many commands. There are some amongst these injunctions which cannot be complied with by every single person. There is, for example, Hajj. It is obligatory upon every person who has the ability and means to do so. There should be a safe passage, and one should also leave behind suitable arrangements and provisions for the household. It's not acceptable to leave your family hungry and then go for the Hajj. And other prerequisites and requirements must all be fulfilled before one can go to Hajj. Similarly, there is zakat. Only he who is able to or has the required standard needs to give it. Similarly, there are changes that can come into the prayer. For example, during a journey, prayers can be combined in certain conditions. However, there is one thing where no change can come into. No circumstance can cause any change to it. And that is La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. This is the reality and essence. All else are complementary or details. Tawheed is not perfected or completed unless worship is performed. As Allah the Almighty has commanded us to worship, we should worship. Only then will Tawheed be complete and perfect. The Promised Messiah says, this means that one who utters La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah will prove to be true in his declaration when from a practical point of view, he proves through his practices that save Allah the Almighty, he holds no other beloved or anyone else worthy of worship. When in reality, this condition pervades him and when truly, he demonstrates this through his faith and through his practical condition, he will be considered truthful before God the Almighty. All material things vanish away in this state, and then he utters La ilaha illallah. There is none worthy of worship except Allah. And then the second part, Muhammad Rasulullah, is by way of example and illustration. Because through an example and model, everything becomes clear, straightforward, and easy. When an example is established, everything becomes easy. The example was set by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by acting upon every command of the Holy Quran, and thus he left behind his blessed model. The Promised Messiah says, the Prophets of Allah come to demonstrate their practical examples. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the par excellence of all excellences. He combined within him all the qualities and excellences, and he demonstrated all the practices and examples of all the prophets. Once in a gathering, a question was asked of the Promised Messiah that the Jews also hold a concept of Tawheed, the unity of God. So the question was that what does Islam offer which is superior to this? This was a criticism raised by the critic. The Promised Messiah says, there is no concept of Tawheed in Judaism. Indeed, there is the shell of Tawheed in Judaism. However, the mere shell does not give any benefit. There are different ranks and stages of Tawheed. Without this, one cannot truly discern what Tawheed is. To merely utter La ilaha illallah is insufficient, for even Satan can declare this. Unless a person practically demonstrates La ilaha illallah within his intrinsic nature, nothing can be achieved. Where is this found amongst the Jews? You tell us yourself. The person asking the question was a Jew. The fundamental and primary stage of Tawheed is that one should not commit any act which is against the word of God. He should not do anything which is contrary to God the Almighty's love. So thus, in the love and obedience to God, one should lose himself and completely devote himself. This is what is signified when one says, save Allah the Exalted, I do not worship anyone else. I do not have any other beloved, and nor do I consider anyone else worthy of obedience nor submission. Remember, shirk is of many types and forms. One is called the apparent or evident shirk. The other is a concealed or hidden shirk. The evident shirk can be described by the examples of the idolaters who worship idols, trees, or other material things. The hidden or concealed shirk is that a person reveres or respects something as he would respect or revere Allah the Exalted and gives him a status beyond requirement. Or he loves something like love of Allah the Exalted or fears it or relies upon it, or depends, or has trust upon it, as he should have trust in Allah. Now reflect, is this aspect not completely found in the followers of the Torah or not? You will see what they did in the lifetime of Hazrat Moses, peace be upon him. So the Promised Messiah is explaining this to the questioner, that if the Torah was sufficient, the Jews should have purified themselves. However, self-purification did not manifest from them. Indeed, they became slanderous and hard-hearted. They started even responding to Hazrat Moses, peace be upon him. It is the Holy Quran alone that has this deep effect and impact of the human heart, provided it is followed in what it is obvious and significant connotation. Its examples are found in every era, and they are even found today. The Holy Quran states, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. That, O Messenger, say to these people that if you love Allah, follow me, then will Allah love you. When man perfectly and completely follows the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, takes a person to the stage of loving the beloved, that is God. We can decipher from this that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the exemplary model of a muwahid, one who believes in the oneness of God. If the Jews truly believed in the oneness of God, they would not have been averse from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They should have accepted him. They should have remembered that to reject the seal of the prophets is an extremely treacherous and dangerous act, but they cared not. And despite the fact that in their scriptures was found the prophecy of his coming, yet they still rejected and denied him. And the only possible reason for this could be that they became hard-hearted. On one occasion, the promised Messiah alayhi salam, expounding on the erroneous creed about Jesus, peace be upon him, he said, Islam brought that pure and clear concept of Tawheed, the trace of which is not found in any other religion or scripture, to the extent that it is my belief that although in previous scriptures, the concept of the Tawheed has been described and elucidated, further, the purpose of the advent of all the prophets of Allah the Almighty was to establish and promote the unity of God. However, the manner and the way that the seal of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought an established Tawheed, and the manner in which the Holy Quran has so explicitly explained the various stages of Tawheed cannot be found in any other scripture or book. So when they desire to make murky such a pure fountain, this means that those who oppose the promised Messiah on whom be peace and do not accept that Jesus, peace be upon him, has died. They, in some places, set up partners to God the Almighty, yet they call themselves Muslims. Regarding them, the promised Messiah alayhi salam here is saying that when they try to corrupt or murky such a pure fountain, that is, those particular Muslims, or they desire to do so, so then tell me, what is left in defaming Islam? How unfortunate are they that when the real and true Islam that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought is presented before them, and it is proven to them through the Holy Quran that they are erroneous, they respond that our forefathers believed in exactly what we believe in. However, I respond to them that by merely saying this much, can they absolve themselves? No, absolutely not. Indeed, according to the Holy Quran and the way of Allah the Almighty since time immemorial, we find that this statement and response of theirs establishes the argument and proof. Whenever the chosen one of Allah the Almighty has come to the world, then the opponents and detractors, after listening to what he taught, responded, مَا سَمِعْنَا بِهَذَا فِي آبَائِنَا الْأَوَّلِينَ, that we have never heard of such a thing among our forefathers. Regarding Tawheed, the unity of God, and the shirk of overly relying on worldly means, the promised Messiah says, Tawheed does not mean that you merely verbally utter, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. In fact, Tawheed signifies that divine greatness and glory should be embedded firmly in the heart, and the greatness of nothing else should be rooted within you. Every act, every movement, and every gesture should be carried out purely for the sake of Allah the Almighty. and He alone should be relied and trusted in every single act and matter. No one should look at anyone else save Allah the Almighty, and he should not have reliance upon anyone except God. There should be no shirk in terms of the being and the attribute of God the Almighty. These days, the reality of shirk of attributing divinity to man has been exposed, and people are becoming averse to it. That is to say, even the Christians who considered Jesus to be God are moving away and are starting to feel averse towards it. This is why the Christians in Europe and other countries are turning away from their religion on a daily basis and are showing disdain towards it. This is being verified in the daily newspapers, journals, posters, and advertisements which are read here. If we compare the rate of those who are becoming averse to the teachings today, that rate has increased manifold. In fact, practically speaking, there are many people who are just Christians by name. They do not even accept or are convinced by the concept that Jesus is alive or not. In fact, this is the reason why they are continuing to deny the existence of God altogether. The promised Messiah says, "So in short, no one is accepting the divinity of man anymore. Indeed, the shirk of overly reliance on worldly things is something which people do not understand. For example, a farmer presumes that unless I farm and harvest my land, I cannot attain my livelihood. In the same way, every person in any profession or in any work has confidence and trust in his own skills. They consider that if they do not do this, their life will be impossible. This is the worship of worldly and material resources and means. And this emanates as a result of not having belief in the power of Allah the Almighty. Let alone one's profession, even food and water and other things on which life is dependent cannot give any benefit to man unless Allah the Almighty so wills. If Allah the Almighty does not will, none of these things can give us any benefit. This is why when a person drinks water, he should think in his mind that Allah the Almighty created this water, and water cannot be beneficial unless Allah the Almighty wills it to be. Water is beneficial only with the will of Allah the Almighty, and when Allah the Almighty so wills, that same water can be harmful. The promised Messiah says, once a person was fasting, when he broke his fast, he drank water. As soon as he drank water, he lay down. Because of this, the water became toxic for him. As soon as he drank the water, he suffered to such a degree that he could not even get up. The very water, which is a life-giving thing, in this circumstance became something poisonous. There are some people who drink great amounts of water after opening their fast. This is detrimental to them, and they should take care. Then the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says, any work, whether it be social work, or whether it be any other task, until blessings do not descend from the heavens, it cannot be blessed. In short, what is required is a complete belief in the powers of Allah. He does not believe in this has an element of atheism. Something is first decided and willed in the heavens, and then it manifests on the earth. The simple declaration or boasting is not tawheed. Look at the Maulvis. They admonish and counsel others, yet do not practice what they preach. This is why nobody has confidence in them anymore. It is mentioned regarding a Maulvi that he was delivering a religious sermon. Amongst the gathering was also his wife. He was counseling towards charity, almsgiving, and forgiveness. One of the women became so affected that she took off one of the jewelry from her foot and gave it to the preacher. Upon this, the preacher responded, "That do you desire that your other foot should be burnt in hell?" Hearing this, the woman gave the jewelry on her other foot. When he returned home, the wife also desired to act upon the preacher and give something to the needy. The Maulvi responded, "These were merely to advise others not to act upon." He said that if we did not act in this way, we would not be able to live. This is the state of the Maulvis today. It is exactly regarding this that the following couplet of poetry describes.
बात करने वाले जो कुछ मेहराबों मेंबर वो बताते हैं जब तन्हाई में जाते हैं
that whatever the preachers say in their members and in other places, they act exactly the opposite, in isolation. Then the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, explains what the characteristics should be of a believer who adheres upon true Tawheed. On one occasion, the promised Messiah, elucidating this, says, "A mu'min, a true believer, is in one sense a careless person. He only wants to please Allah the Almighty, and he always keeps this in view at all times. Because he is only dealing with Allah the Almighty, he does not care at all of any loss or gain from any other individual. When a person associates anyone besides Allah the Almighty and it interferes with that relationship, then he becomes embroiled in various things such as arrogance and showing off. Remember that this interference with a relationship with God is a toxic poison. The first part of La ilaha illallah contains the word La ilah, which negates this." The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says, "When a person falters in obeying the command of Allah the Almighty due to any other person, then this is associating partners with God, and that is why he does not act upon any one command. When a person does not follow any one of the commands of Allah the Almighty, it would mean that he is associating someone with Allah the Almighty, and that is the reason why he does not follow that command." So the promised Messiah continues that is why when you say La ilaha illallah, you are actually negating anyone as being associated. If a person is a true believer, when he says La ilaha illallah, he is negating anyone else being associated with God. That is to say, he does not bring anyone in between the attribute of God and him. And this is the reality and essence of La ilaha illallah. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says, explaining the fact that there are certain accounts in some books, there is a mention of a person who was fasting. There was a Maulvi who was fasting, and he visits someone and wants the person to know that he is fasting. However, when the host asked him, rather than say the truth and say that he is fasting, he tries to show that he has a lot of self-control and discipline, and he responds that I have an excuse. In short, there are many concealed sins. He does not say openly that he is fasting, but he gives an excuse that there is some reason or the other that he will not eat or drink. In short, there are many such hidden and concealed sins which destroy a person's deeds. This arrogance, this pretentiousness, or to express an act of virtue are all concealed sins. Through this, slowly but gradually, a person's actions are all destroyed and a person becomes distant from Tawheed. So the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, continues, "The rich are always arrogant and haughty, which ruin their practices and actions. As a result, some poor people who do not entertain such thoughts surpass the rich people in the spiritual realm." Because arrogance and haughtiness makes one distant from Tawheed. In short, the example of pretentiousness and showing off is like a mouse which eats up from within all the good deeds. Allah the Almighty is most bountiful and generous, but humility and humbleness is required to go towards Him. When a person has humility, he will come near to God. If a person has any thought of being greater than others, whether it is in terms of knowledge, whether it is in terms of his power, whether it is in terms of his wealth, or whether it is in terms of his family or lineage, to the degree that he thinks he is greater in any of these aspects, that same degree will be left behind. This is why it is written in some books that there are fewer awliya amongst the well-off, because they entertain arrogant thoughts of their family's high standings. When this thought emerged after the Qurun-e-Ula, they were left behind. These kind of barriers make a person unfortunate and make them end up deprived. There are very few amongst them who remove themselves from this. Wealth is also a type of barrier. So authority and also wealth are things which prevent a person from fulfilling the commands of Allah the Almighty. When one does not follow the commands of Allah the Almighty, he becomes distant from Tawheed, the unity of God. Antamini wa anaminka is a revelation of the promised Messiah. Someone asked the promised Messiah that some people raise an allegation that this is contrary to Tawheed. Because the meaning of this revelation is, you are from me and I am from you. The promised Messiah alayhi salam says that antamini, you are from me, is very clear, and there could be no objection or criticism regarding it, because my advent is purely due to the grace of Allah the Almighty, and is from Him alone. Meaning that you are from me means that whatever that he obtained was from the blessings and grace of Allah the Almighty. It was given and conferred by God. Then the promised Messiah says, it should be remembered that the actual fact of the matter is that as Allah the Almighty has said repeatedly in the Holy Quran, that He is one and without any partner. He has no equal in His person, His attributes, nor in His works. The truth is, there cannot be perfect belief in the unity of Allah the Almighty unless a person is devoid and free of every form of shirk. Tawheed is completed and perfected only then when one believes that Allah the Exalted is incomparable by virtue of His being, by virtue of His attributes, and by virtue of His works. Now, in terms of the being and attributes of Allah the Almighty, one should consider that everything is attributed to Him. It is His being and attributes that encompasses everything. The works and their results, they are incomparable. The results that Allah the Almighty produces are incomparable and no one else can generate them. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, continues, ignorant people object to this revelation that was revealed to me, but do not understand its essence and reality. Although in spite of professing to one God, they suggest God's attributes to others. For example, they believe that Jesus, peace be upon him, could bring back the dead to life, and could take life himself. They believe that he had knowledge of the unseen, and is ever living. Is this not shirk? This is a treacherous shirk which has destroyed the Christian nation, and now it is a misfortune of the Muslims that they have included such beliefs and doctrines amongst their own beliefs. So thus divine attributes which are exclusive to Allah the Exalted should not be attributed to any other person, whether he be a prophet, a wali, or anyone else. Similarly, no one should be included in the works of God. Some people begin to rely so much on worldly means and resources that they forget God the Almighty altogether. Whereas the reality of true Tawheed is that there should not be a hint of the reliance of worldly means remaining. It should never be considered that the qualities of various things are inherent in them of their own accord. In fact, it needs to be accepted that Allah the Exalted has placed those qualities in whatever those things are. For example, there is a type of root which brings about diarrhea, and then the toxin kills. Now, these powers and qualities were not in these things intrinsically or on their own accord, but they were infused by Allah the Exalted. If Allah should remove these qualities, neither can the root bring about that toxic effect, and nor will the toxin kill if someone were to eat it. In short, worldly means and resources should not be relied on beyond reasonable bounds. And no one should be associated with divine qualities and works. This is the rightful due and belief in Tawheed, and one who practices this would be called Mawahid, a believer in the oneness of God. However, if one suggests divine qualities and works towards someone else, then no matter how much verbally he professes belief in the unity of God, he cannot be called a Mawahid. Because there are such Mawahid even found amongst the Arya, who say they believe in the one God. But in spite of this, they also say that the soul and matter has not been created by God. They are not dependent on Allah Exalted for their existence, as if the soul and matter are eternal in themselves. Now, what greater shirk can there be than this? Similarly, there are many people who cannot distinguish between Tawheed and shirk. They either do such acts or have such beliefs which clearly contain shirk. For example, they profess that if such and such person was not present, we would have died, or something else would have been ruined. Person should not rely on means beyond moderation and should not associate anyone in the divine qualities and works and attributes. Then he says that Allah the Almighty has conferred various qualities and faculties in man, and they cannot go beyond what they have been assigned for. For example, the eye has been made to see, the ear to hear, the tongue to speak and to taste. And nobody can claim that instead of hearing, the ear can be used for seeing. The tongue, instead of speaking and tasting, can be used for listening. The faculties of each of these things are limited. However, Allah the Almighty's faculties are unlimited, and there is no one equal to Him. In short, this Tawheed will only then be perfected and completed when Allah the Almighty is considered as one and without partner in every single way, and man considers that he is futile in comparison, that neither me nor any of my means have any significance. Then the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says, regarding this part of the revelation that you are from me and I am from you, he says, to understand its reality, it should be remembered that a person who reaches the stage of self-annihilation and attains a new, pure life, whom Allah the Almighty has addressed and says, you are from me, and who he blesses with his closeness and spiritual knowledge. And this is by virtue of Allah the Almighty's Tawheed, his greatness, his honor, and also his glory. Such a person becomes a testimony and a living sign of Allah the Almighty. From this perspective, as such, Allah the Almighty's manifestation occurs within that person. A person who is completely lost in Allah the Almighty, then Allah the Almighty is personified in him. And he is a reflection of Allah the Almighty's descent. In this condition, when he is a reflection of the divine attributes, Allah the Almighty says to him, and I am from you. Such a person who hears this voice and call comes to the world at a time when there is no sign left of the worship of Allah the Almighty. Whoever hears this call and beckoning hears it at a time when people leave off worshipping Allah the Almighty altogether. There is no trace of worship to God at all, because at the current time, immorality and wickedness is strife and prevalent. And because recognition of Allah the Almighty cannot be seen, Allah the Almighty has established this movement. And purely through His grace and blessings, He has caused my advent, so that those people who are negligent and are unaware of Allah the Almighty, I can notify them and inform them of this. And not only inform this, but in fact those people who loyally and sincerely come in this direction, that I can show Allah the Almighty to them. On this basis, Allah the Almighty addressed me and said, Anta minni wa ana minkum, that you are from me and I am from you. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salam says that one form of Tawheed is that one removes all his selfish desires in from in between, and instead he loses himself in the greatness of Allah the Almighty. Regarding the sincerity of the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the promised Messiah says, one is astonished seeing the state of the companions. They neither cared for the heat or the cold. They accepted self-annihilation of their lives. They did not care for their honor or lives, and gave themselves up like sacrificial animals. We cannot find any similar examples to present. What better proof is there of the sincerity of this community is that they gave their lives up for this purpose. Their hearts were devoid of any worldliness or materialism. They left the world entirely and were prepared for the next world. Many people in the world are largely concerned for this life. They remained worried for what to do relating to this world. Allah the Almighty does not let anyone go to waste. This objection that as a result of following this way, our objectives will be ruined, this is incorrect. In the time of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, how much property and possessions did Hazrat Abu Bakr have? Someone may have had at the most 100 or 200 of money, but Allah made them kings, and they became the inheritors of Khosrows, etc. But the sense of honor of Allah the Almighty does not wish that there should be some share given to Allah and some to Satan. And this is a reality of Tawheed, that there should only be belief in Allah the Almighty. Tawheed is a type of death, but this death is actually where one will gain life. Then the promised Messiah on whom BP says, "Know most certainly that after this life there is another world, which is an everlasting hereafter. You need to prepare yourselves for this. This world and all that is within it will remain behind here, but there is no limit to the blessings and grace of Allah the Almighty. I say truly that he who separates himself from all of these things and instead turns himself towards God is the true mu'min. When one becomes God's, it can never be that God leaves him. Do not consider that Allah the Almighty is cruel or an oppressor. He who loses something in the way of Allah the Almighty gains much more in return. If you give preference to the pleasure of Allah the Almighty and do not wish for progeny, then consider that you will most certainly be given progeny. And if you do not desire wealth, then Allah the Almighty will most certainly give you wealth. Do not make two opposing efforts, because then it cannot be made at one time. The effort should be a singular effort, and that should be that to attain Allah the Almighty, you should make the correct endeavor. He who leaves the world for the sake of Allah the Almighty also attains the world. However, the condition herein is that one should be saved from every form of shirk. The promised Messiah says, "I say once again that the true root of Islam is Tawheed. That is, there should be nothing else in a person apart from God. You should not be one who slanders and mocks God and the ones who come from him. Whatever tribulation or difficulty he has to endure, he should never utter a word of complaint. Tribulations that come upon a person are as a result of his own self. Allah the Almighty is not cruel. Indeed, even truthful people have to face tribulations at times. Other people find these as tribulations, but they are not tribulations. They are in fact a type of reward, because through it, their link with Allah the Almighty strengthens, and their rank and status increases. Other people cannot understand this. But they who do not have a connection with Allah the Almighty, and their actions result in them facing tribulations, become even more lost and misguided. For such people it is said, "Fi qulubihim maradun fazadahumu Allahu marada." So therefore always remain fearful, and always search for the blessings of Allah the Almighty. Let it not happen that you become those who cut your connection off with God. He who enters into the community established by Allah the Almighty is not favoring Allah the Almighty. It is in fact a favor and act of kindness of God that he enabled him to do so. He has every power to destroy a nation and raise up another people. This is a similar time to the people of Noah and Lot. Instead of bringing about extreme destruction and ending the world, Allah the Almighty has descended His mercy and blessings and desired reformation, and He established this movement for this purpose. So therefore, it is a great responsibility upon us to understand this teaching and the reality of Tawheed. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, said, "The most important matter for our community is that they bring about pious reformation, because they obtain fresh spiritual knowledge. If one claims to have knowledge but does not act upon it, then it will be mere claims and declarations. It will be mere boasting. So therefore, our community should not look to the slackness of others and cause them to be negligent. Our community should not become negligent as a result of the examples of others. They should not try to emulate the world. They should not fall into the trap of slackness and laziness. If others do not love God, you should not become hard-hearted yourselves. If others do not have love towards the religion and God, do not become hard-hearted by emulating them. A person has many desires and wishes, but who knows what the decree of Allah the Almighty is from the unseen? This life does not run in accordance to one's personal wishes and desires. The personal desires are one thing, and the decree of Allah the Almighty is something else, and that is the real thing. What does a person know what is decreed for him? So therefore, a person should constantly scrutinize his own self, should constantly shake his own being, and analyze how his condition is. May Allah the Almighty enable us to gain true insight and perception into Tawheed. And may Allah the Almighty enable for our every act be one that is an effort towards attaining the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. After the Friday prayers, I will also lead a funeral prayer in absentia. This is a Mukarram Abdul Karim Abbas Sahib of Syria. He passed away on the 5th of May, returning to Allah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He took Tibet in 2005 and had the honor to do so. And afterwards, he greatly surpassed many others. He was a solitary Ahmadi in his family. In 2009, he entered into the system of Vasiyat. He was extremely regular in giving janda. Last year, as a result of financial difficulties due to the economic downturn in his country, which affected him also, even if he was far away, he would always give chanda through some relatives. He was a diabetic and he was quite ill. He had become very frail and skinny. Very recently, as a result of ill health, he ultimately returned to his Lord. Mulim Al-Adr Sahib was the one who preached to him. As a result of his sincerity and loyalty, he was unable to take Tibet. He writes that in search of the truth and in search of the highest form of spirituality, without a lot of study, he accepted the promised Messiah. And after 1 month's preaching, he took Tibet. After Tibet, he saw in a dream that he was in Masjid al-Quba. He was with various Sahaba or companions and offering the prayer with them. All of them were wearing white clothing. Further, during the prayer, his state was very spiritual. From this dream, he was extremely happy. He would say that this dream is proof of the fact that my decision to take Tibet was correct. But in his modesty, he would always ask, am I really worthy of saying the prayers with the Sahaba, the companions? Wherever he was, he would preach. He had no fear of any opposition. This is particularly worthy of mention that he lived in a region where the locals were not prepared to hear anything contrary to their beliefs and creed. Despite severe illness, he always kept in contact with the Jamaat. He would study, he would learn arguments, and he would preach with gentleness. He was well known for his kindness, gentleness, and compassion. He would always insist that illness is no restraint, and that one who is ill can still convey the message of the promised Messiah. Whenever he carried out preaching and mentioned the promised Messiah, his eyes would well up. He would always say the truth with bravery and courage. The listener could not imagine that such a skinny and frail person could say something so courageous. After his demise, because his family are not Ahmadi, they took his body to his ancestral village and the Ahmadis could not perform the funeral prayer. In any case, they later carried out the funeral prayer in absentia and inshallah we will do also. Hani Tahir Saab writes, the deceased was a very sincere Ahmadi. In 2009, he helped a lot in designing the website. I had to excuse myself due to shortage of time and he said, simply send me the topics and the subjects and I will carry out the rest of the work. And he designed a very beautiful website. He would often mention his services to the Jamaat, his passion and zeal for doing so. Majid Amir Saab has also written that I work with the deceased in checking the Arabic translations of the Urdu books of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wa salam. During this time, I keenly felt that the deceased had extraordinary sincerity and he worked with great minute and fine detail and worked very efficiently. He never let his illness restrain his work. In fact, he would not even mention it. He would read the writings of the promised Messiah alayhi salam and express great happiness and joy. He would often say that the knowledge and teachings of the promised Messiah alayhi salam should be conveyed to the Arab people extremely rapidly, so they should also be guided and seek benefit. He was lost in his love for Khilafat. May Allah the Almighty elevate his rank and grant him forgiveness.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nasta'firuhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'uzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.